Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of breath. We are not promoting. G'day, punters, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast, where we are previewing day one of the championships there at Royal Randwick. Of course, it is the Anglicised, the TJ Smith, the Doncaster Mile, and the Australian Derby. Four Group 1s, run and one on the card. I do say the Donny is the fifth major, obviously alongside the Cox Plate, Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup, and the Golden Slipper. That's its unofficial name. We've also got Caulfield Racing, the Easter Cup, and the Victoria Handicap. Fellas, we are coming off quite a good weekend last weekend, and Bots had a few winners tonight, so we're up and about, aren't we?
I'm airborne.
Yeah, no, I had a good night at Pakenham tonight, so
second hottest bloke in Pakenham, you are, Bot.
Oh, what a set.
I don't want to hear
you wouldn't be referring to yourself.
I don't want to hear a bad word ever spoken about Pakenham again.
I couldn't.
Of this different grass variants rubbish. It's the best track. No. It's nearly the best track in Victoria.
God's carpet.
I don't have a word to say about Pakenham.
If Moonee Valley is serious, all the good races should be going to Pakenham. You've got the races out of the chute. You've got a beautiful big track. It'd just be perfect.
Yeah. Well, one of the key retractors to that would be that our major sponsor is Ladbrokes, and the major sponsor of Pakenham is Sportsbet. So
they can sort that rubbish out.
They're always, I don't know how Southside do it actually, because Ladbrokes is Cranbourne, Sportsbet is Pakenham, and they still seem to manage.
Well, they definitely have pull, so because it used to be horrible beer out there, and ever since they went to Southside, they've got the good stuff.
Yeah, my man Al Dwyer is doing a great job out there. Used to work at the Valley, and he was my boss, and now he's out at Southside, so shout out to Al. Fellas, it is 9:57 p.m. at night. Carlton is about to suffer another loss.
And looked at the footage.
I'm just not in the mood to dawdle tonight. So let's rip into this form, because there is so much to get through. Caulfield is where we always start. We know the better racing is in Sydney, but we're going to start Metro Melbourne, as we always do. Firstly, Will Alford, you're probably going to be the one who's playing into these races more than Nico and I. The rail's out 9 meters.
This is sick.
What do you make of that?
Absolutely sick.
Well, I don't know. There's a bit of rain around projected anyway, so that could make it tricky. If it's wet, who knows?
Was it raining where you guys are? Not gonna be. It was raining before when I got home.
Yeah, it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining here where I am. Not.
I don't think it was expected.
It's enough to.
Yeah. I don't like to give firm opinions when there's rain about. So, yeah, I'll play it by
That's so helpful for the punters.
I know. Yeah. So sorry to be unhelpful.
Splinters. But, you know, splinters is always when it comes everywhere. To the track.
I don't
want
to tell people it's going to be massively on pace and the rail chops out by the second race.
As long as the self-interest wins, that's all that matters. But isn't that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
You selfish, yeah. selfish bastard.
Well, sometimes our own track managers don't always even know how it's going to play. So we can't expect Bot to know how it's going to play either.
On a Thursday evening.
Yeah, well, we want to have early bet spot. We want to be launching morals on a Friday morning when people have opened up Spotify, they've clicked onto the Racing Previews podcast, and they just want one word answers, not this rubbish you serve up about.
If you're launching anything at Caulfield, 1-800-858-858.
Well, there might be a launch job in race one. It is a 1,100-metre two-year-old listed event, and Scenic Point is a $1.80 favourite. Very good rating win on debut. That was out at Pakenham, speaking of. Aleppo Pine is $4.60. Skidelmo, that's definitely not how you say it, is $8. Facilitate, $8.50. And Medney is $9.50. Bot, are we back in this favourite? Do we want a bit better price?
I don't know. Speaking of launching into things, it's a pretty good way to kick off the card to launch into one at Caulfield, because I think Scenic Point is a lot better than these. I think Aleppo Pine sort of had a bit of a profile like he was going to go on with it, but he has had the opportunity, and I don't know, he might improve as a three-year-old, but I think what Scenic Point did on debut when he was backed, they opened him 11s and he was backed into odds on, I'm pretty sure, at Pakenham. On debut, a lot of style about it. The time was good. He absolutely smashed him from the front, and you know, who goes straight to the lead or at least sit outside, it'll, you know, be first four in run. I don't think it really matters. And you know, I'm not often someone that takes these short odds, but I'm having a long hard think about $1.80. I think he could start a lot shorter than that. So Scenic Point is, you know, if you're gonna have a big bet on at Caulfield on Saturday, I'd encourage it to be Scenic Point. Because I think he's a pretty, you know, you could mark him shorter than $1.80 and get pretty short on that price.
So there it is, punters. 10 past 12, feast or famine. Feast or famine in the first at Caulfield. It's going
to
be.
There's more bets to come.
Yeah, well, that's your biggest bet of the day. So.
Oh, well, obviously, it's $1.80.
Yeah. No, it's going to be interesting. I'll still be able to watch that race. First round of football for myself, it's the absolute pits playing a game of footy on a Saturday, and you can't watch day one of the championships, but good thing is I get to watch at least a few races. I'll also get to watch race two, which is a 1200 meter benchmark 74, and Heart of Glass has come up the $2.80 favorite from Barbaric Lad, $5, Prancing Spirit, $6.50, Orrington is $8, and Namesake, $9.50. Not sure which way you've gone here. Tell us.
I've gone the way of Heart of Glass, who was really, really good at Caulfield first up. The track there was fast. It was, you know, they were running really, really quick times. So, you know, it was hard to make up a lot of ground. You know, that's just how it is when the track's really, really fast. And this horse did that. And they did go very quickly there, but it was running really, really strong time towards the end of that race over 1,200 metres first up. It's always sort of been a horse that, you know, first up, you know, some people might think it might be just a first up horse, but I'm not so sure about that. I think it's come back better this preparation. It's fourth preparation, and, you know, this will be its 10th start, and I think it'll make improvement on its first up run at Caulfield, and I think it'll settle in the first half of the field, and, a couple of the main dangers, Barbaric Lad will be out the back. I think it's more of a 400 meter miler, but one in a race where the pace melted, and they're just going to keep thinking that it's a horse that needs to get back over sprint distance. That's wrong. Ironton's off about 400 days, and Prancing Spirit was wide and, you know, pretty poor at Moonee Valley, and it was excusable, but I'm happy to back Heart of Glass to improve again and beat them at $2.80. I think it's about a $2.30 chance, and I think the market will love it on Saturday. So I'm pretty keen on that horse in race number two.
Sweet. We skip to race five, which is the Galilee Series Final. It's a 2,400-meter three-year-old listed event. The favorite has been extremely well-backed. That is Statuario, $2.25 from Red Aces, $6. Rapid Cheval is $6.50, Politely Done, $8.50, and you're way out to $16 and long the rest. I'll chime in here. This is one of the early bets I've had at Caulfield. Grabbed a bit of $3 for Statuario. I think that looks well overs, and it is proven so at the moment. You might get a little bit better than what is currently on offer because there has been a fair bit of damage done to that price, but he was so good last start at Moonee Valley. He ran the fastest late splits of the race in a race that was dominated by Chanois, who's a nice horse in his own right, goes up for the Derby in Sydney. He just had it all his own way. We know the fence was the place to be on that really shifty, weird track at Moonee Valley. And I think if Statuario stays 2,400 metres, then he's just going, I think he is a better horse than these, and he's going better than these. I know in the spring, like Red Aces was going really well. I don't think he's really come up this preparation, and now he meets Statuario 3 kilos worse off at the weights. That can't possibly help. So, yeah, I'm all over Statuario here. I think he's going to go to the potentially to the South Australian Derby after this, but he gets his first look at 2,400 metres here, and ratings would suggest he is just going better than his opposition. So the map is okay from four. Gives Johnny Allen an opportunity to sit a little bit closer than last start, and I think it'd be too good. What do you think, Bob?
I think he's probably maybe a little bit short. He's a horse that I think I half have a query on him at a mile and a half. He's a bit fast, and they went slowly there at Alistair, in the Alistair Clark, and he had the rail, although he did come off it going around the turn. But I think $2.30 is short enough now. If you took the early price, then that's, you know, fair enough. That's good odds. I think they bet $3.280. I'm not on, and I wasn't really interested in being on. But I mean, if it gets out to a price, and I could back it. But the horse I sort of had a little bit of an interest in was Dolce Dior, who progressively got out in trip and then went to Bendigo last start in a maiden, and the late sectionals that it ran were really, really good there. And I think that that's, you know, if it can make an improvement on that, then it can definitely, definitely win the Galilee Series Final.
Sweet. So there's one at the short end. Mine's currently $2.30, but just wait on that. And the top price for Bodders is about $19, $18. So, yep.
There's, I might wait for that. I don't know. There's not a lot of support around for it earlier. It might get, you know, better. But I've got no idea what the market's going to do recently. Like, it's just like spitting things out and they're winning. And, no one knows what the market's going to do recently. It's just over-exaggerations, I think, sometimes. So you can take advantage of it. But
never be deterred if you have a drift on a horse. Horses drift and win all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, like, recently, I think, like, sometimes it just goes way, way too far.
At the end of the day, like
not to be a...
If a drift happens, it's not because someone knows something all the time. Like, it's just someone else's opinion that's heavily weighted against someone else's.
I think if I like a horse that's first up in the market, hates it, then I'm iffy on it or...
Yeah, it's usually
sometimes it gets really, really stinky ones. But like,
but regardless, just back yourself in.
Not to be a smart ass or anything, but the horse, the one that was second last at Pakenham tonight that I backed was odds on out to $7 throughout betting, and then it won like it was an odds on chance. Like some of the market moves recently have just been.
Yeah.
I think it's just because there's less people betting, and when the less amount of people line up. And they just push towards one horse, and it lets another one out, so that there's less people betting into the market, less opinion, so can over exaggerate market moves sometimes. I think.
Yeah, that's that was Fear No Evil that you speak of, race 7 at Pakenham, and then the other big example we saw on Tuesday on a Group 1 day was Nepotism, $2.80 at the $5. You could have got even better on Betfair, and even Bottle was coming on board with us. And
yeah, it was a bit
Sydney.
Of fun on a Tuesday.
We didn't break that news off the top.
What? There wasn't any time for news. We need to get through this car.
Yeah, well, he's just a shrewd Sydney punter now. He's he's come to the real side.
Yeah, a couple of beers for Bot on a Tuesday night.
Did you sleep through your alarm again, Bot?
I didn't need to sleep through my alarm. Oh no, I was working. Work was working late.
My sources tell me he was under the Yarra Bridge at the early hours. Yeah. That's just my mail.
So well, if it wasn't round one of football, I would have loved to have come out and join you somewhere because it was a very good day. But nonetheless, in this game of racing, we look through the windscreen and not the rear view mirror. And race six is a 2,000 metre benchmark 80, and Kings Valley's come up the $3.50 favourite with the TAB. I think you can get better with Ladbrokes. They're pushing out to $3.70. My Brother's Keeper $5.50. Burlington Gate $7.50. Fortune $8.50. And Denmark $10. Kings Valley's just got to be the best horse in this race. And I think the biggest worry is the fact that he's drawn out with Luke Cartwright, a 3 kilo claiming apprentice on board. That's what you have to contend with. But I think we're getting a decent enough price and he might even get pushed out more. Like if you get $4 for Kings Valley, this is a horse who probably didn't have the, you know, he had to take off from a long way out last start. He ran all over Birdman, who was well backed in that race. Birdman goes to a much better race on Saturday at Randwick and made him look second rate. That was after he ran second to Revelare. That was a good rating performance as well, rated to 94.1 there at Flemington. Like he just comes up against a lot of numbers here. And the great thing about this bet is, although he has drawn out an 11, Golden Crusader's drawn in 10, which is right directly inside him, and it looks the likely leader. So if I am Kieran Maher, I'm telling Luke Cartwright just to tag the back of Golden Crusader, go forward and try and find that outside lead position. And from there, he's got to be mighty hard to beat. As I said, you're backing your 3 kilo claimer, so you know what you're in for if shit does hit the fan. But he does take that 3 kilos from a 62.5 kilo top weight or second top weight allocation down to the 59.5. I think that's a winnable weight. And this is back in grade. So this horse is absolutely flying. And if it's not end of prep, then I expect him to go mighty close for the right run.
I had half an opinion in this race. I thought that Preferential, he ran massive splits at the end of that race at Ballarat. And I think he can keep improving over this sort of trip. I think he's a nice horse. He's taken a while to hit his straps, but I think, yeah, Preferential is a nice horse and I'll probably have something on you. But yeah, I do agree. Kings Valley looks clearly favourite. And if you do get $4, I don't think it's a bad bet by any means.
Yep. Sweet. So one at the top of the market and another one at double figures if you want to chime in as well. We skip now to race nine, and Bot and I do line up in the Victoria Handicap. It's a 1,400 metre Group 3. Super Azi's been well supported into $5.50. Regal Zeus, going to go forward from barrier 14, is $7. Roll on High, $8. Chalton Lane, $8.50. Nicolini Vito, $10, as well as Miss Aria. Will, I'll let you state the case first.
Yeah, it's all about Super Azi for me. I think this is a nice bet. He's had a nice little tick over run, jump out between runs. He looked like he was healthy in that. He was really, really good in the new market. I actually backed him in the new market, like flyers odds. But I think he'll be forward here. And, you know, he's got form alongside Gringotts, who's a Group 1 winner now, and up in the market in the Doncaster Handicap. You know, straight lines don't work at all in racing, but I think... So he's $6.60 now is the best price available. $6.50, easily backable across lots of the joints. I think that's I think he's more like a $5, and that's being generous to the rest of them. I think he's a really nice bet second up, and I think he can break the 448-day drought to win on Saturday Victoria Handicap.
Yeah, this horse is flying without winning. He's He ran third to Gringotts, then he ran second to Gringotts. He's got a second to Jimmy Starr over 1,400 metres at Caulfield, fast finishing. And then last start, he came from near last in the Newmarket. He made good ground on Jolly Starr and co. He was only beaten four over an undersuitable trip of 1,200 metres. Gets up to 1,400 metres now. I think the tricky part is with the rail out 10 meters. Where does he land on the map? I'm not exactly sure, but I'm just happy to back him in. Care. I was able to secure $8, and I like Declan Bates being on. So at 54.5 kilos, he's just so well in. You know, you've got Golden Mile at the top of the weights, 59.5 kilos. That's icky. Ayrton, how's he going? 57 kilos. And Charlton Lane sort of drawn in hell in 15. So, yeah, I thought it looked a pretty easy bet. He's into favorite now. I think that's fair. And if you can forecast any improvement off the first up run, then he just has to be in this up to his eyeballs. As we said in the gong, he pushed Gringotts to less than a length. And he was carrying pretty much exactly the same weight he'll carry here. So, yep, I think he's a really, really good bet in a race where you can poke holes in so many of the leading chances. Regal Zeus was good last start. He'll have to do a bit of work to find the front. Roll on High was also good, but, gee, what a disappointment he's been. Thought she was going to be one of the best fillies slash mares in Victoria, and she just hasn't really gone on with the job. So, super easy to break the drought, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Do you have an opinion in the Easter Cup, race 8, or do you want us to move on?
Do I have an opinion in the Easter Cup? No, I think it looked incredibly difficult. Did you?
Yeah, a little bit. I thought that Sheila Kapp, for all she's done and how good she was against the fillies her own age and the Alexander Stakes, looked incredibly short. And I think she'll... God, I can't speak. I thought that she was well under the odds, and I think she'll continue to drift and start double figures at least, I'd have thought. So there's a couple that interested me. Poison Chalice, who comes out of the really fast Blamey Stakes. he was really good there, and he just needs to run that number to win here. I think horse like Torrenzino, who I backed in the Wangaratta Cup and was better not... I don't know. If I speak, I get in trouble. But after 10 furlongs, or staying at 10 furlongs, 35 days between runs, I think he gets a soft enough map and he can be there. It's a race that I'd want to be on pace in, but even a horse like Fujita San comes out of a nice race up in
Sydney. Hold on. It's a race you want to be on speed in, and you're tipping.
Yeah, I know. I know I just said that, but he's going to jump like 20s or something, Fujita San. you have worse bets of being on him. So, yeah.
All right, let's move on to day one of the championships at Royal Randwick. It's currently a soft 7. They've received something ridiculous, like 150 mils of rain, maybe a little bit more than that in the last week. But we've had 4 or 5 days of proper drying, back to a 7 now. It would have been a 10 on the weekend. They reckon it's on the better side of a 7. So that means naturally tomorrow it gets back to a 6. I'm doing my form for a soft 5, Nico. Rail back in the true should be perfect. What do you reckon?
I agree that it'll be perfect. Between a 5 and a 6, I might go with a 5.5 this week. I think I think that'll be perfect. They've had something like 113 mil in the last 7 days.
Right, maybe I overjumped the gun a bit. I said 150.
No, I think it was 113 today. I could be wrong, but yeah. Anyway, it's a lot of rain.
Yeah. But the thing with these really good tracks, and Randwick is a good track, is when they do get, you know, 3, 4, 5 days in a row of continual drying weather, it's been 26, 27 degrees, and there doesn't look like any more rain in the forecast, it usually does soak through the profile quite nicely. So... yeah, it won't be any worse than a 6. So
a 6 will be perfect anyway, I reckon, if it is.
Yep. I heard the track manager did say that the inside hard against the fence was holding a bit more moisture, so it's a little bit softer.
Yeah, what sort of lanes that's 1, not, 2, 3 will probably chop out,
yeah,
as you would
that's think. That's not unnatural for Randwick. Usually Randwick chops up a little bit more on the fence compared to a Rose Hill, and they can come down the sort of middle to the outside of the track, but we'll just see how it plays
out. I'll end up sitting one off the fence anyway.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we got any bets in the first race, but we'll just address it because it's the Kindergarten Stakes. It's a Group 3 over 1,100 metres for the two-year-olds. North England is $3.30, King of Pop $4.20, the Black Opal winner. Beskar is $5.50, and Strada Verena is $6. Will, I reckon you might want to chime in here with number 6, Beskar. Put down a pretty decent rating on debut. And I don't know if you've seen the trial since, but the trial in Sydney was extremely hot. Looks a horse.
It does look like a horse.
Four legs.
Yeah.
Runs.
Yeah, it does. the rating on debut was really good. Nice splits there. I don't think you can make it favourite, but I think you can make it second favourite. I think North England deserves to be favourite. It was good in the slipper. King of Pop won the Black Opal, but don't know. Even a horse like Hay Street ran a nice debut rating. Was nice splits there, but yeah, Best Guard looks like could be the best horse out of this race, you'd think. I think North England looks like a 2-year-old. Might be able to capitalise on that though, but Best Guard looks like a really nice horse, I think. But it might not win on Saturday, but it's a horse to follow into the future, I think.
Yeah, I might end up backing it. North England, like, he just doesn't look like his ceiling is very high. Like, he's one of these horses who gets out and gets rolling, gets running. Well, I just think he might get run down again, and it doesn't really look like a 3-year-old, as Bot said, but this Best Guy is potentially exciting. Look, he's only put down one win, but it was a good win. Started at $1.30 there on debut at Geelong in the small field. And yeah, this race just seems to be crying out for one who might be able to go to the next level, and it might be it. Right, let's move on to the Adrian Knox, because this is one of my better bets of the day. Might be my best of the day in Sydney. It's a 2,000 metre group three for the 3-year-old fillies. Polymnia is $3.30 favourite. Dominator $4.40. Kenny Queen $9. Inevitable Truth $11. And Yu Wang $11. We've got to mention Belter Dell as well. Relation to Very Elegant by Zed as well, I think. Looks and runs exactly like Very Elegant as well. So,
Bot's the breeding buff.
Yeah, it's a three-quarter sister to Very Elegant.
Yeah, there you go. And mate, go and watch its replays and watch it on Saturday. It's an absolute dead ringer.
Well, it's scary. Hopefully she gets three quarters of her ability, or even one quarter.
Yeah.
It looks like a bet here, I think.
Oh,
three quarters would be enough to win it.
This is what we want.
Let me go first, because I'm Kansas. Okay. Dulcidal will actually be a bet for me, but I'm going to start with what I think is potentially the best bet of the day, and that is Polymnia. I took $4 for her all in. She just looks like one of the better weighted horses in the country on Saturday. She gets in basically on the min here with 54.5 kilos. Everything she's been doing is screaming, I want more ground. Her two ratings earlier in the prep were both really, really good, about as good as anything has gone in this race, other than Dominetta in the surround stakes when she had the opportunity to sort of run that figure. If you look at the figure last start, it doesn't really scream anything big, but this is a Hawkesbury maiden, and she came around, you know, she came from last and probably wasn't ever going to rate that high, but she absolutely kicked their heads in. The sectionals were elite. She won by 3.5 lengths. She SP'd $1.15. That was over 1,800 metres. She now gets 2,000. And she just draws so well in barrier 8, where her main danger in Dominetta has got to carry the 59 kilos and draws in hell in 15. So I am so keen on Polymnia getting out to 2,000 metres. Look, she's probably going to run a place to Treasure the Moment in the Oaks. That's sort of the opinion I have of her, if she's able to back up. She just has stay written all over her. She's buy done deal. And Zach, she's got to give her a good ride. I reckon she's a cracking bet, but I'm also going to have something on Baltadale. She actually comes here, you know, on Form King with the best last start weight adjusted figure in the race. She has chased Chanois around, did have $1.50 SP to Chanois at Mornington that day. That looks pretty good now. And yeah, her overall SP profile last preparation, earlier on in the year was huge. So yeah, she does look a bet at $12 as well, but I'm keen on the favourite.
Yeah, they sent her around at Mornington and the Caulfield Heath, two of the worst tracks you could possibly think of for a horse that needs to find her feet and get going, because she's obviously a stayer. She definitely looks backable here. Miss Alexis looks interesting as well. Another, speaking of breeding, she's out of Jamaica, who could go. Caulfield Cup winner, obviously. Ran nice splits at Sandown. So Sandown form's standing up here, I think.
Oh, and, no shit.
I do agree with you.
Fantastic. I do agree with you, Ben.
Polymnia looks the, you know, she's deserved. She's favourite. She will start favourite unless something funny happens. But yeah, Dominetta looks, you know, I don't know. I don't know. She's a Baizu star. Is she going to, you know, she's Gay Waterhouse, Adrian Bott, but I wouldn't be surprised if she doesn't get 2,000 as well, and she's going to have to do a bit of work early. She
got to be 3-1 early.
Yeah, she got an easy enough pace to win at least the Kembla Classic, Grange Classic. They went even. They didn't go crazy, and she got ran over the top of quite easily. So she potentially looks like a hole in the market. And then you've got, you know, you can pretty easily back Polymnia, Miss Alexis, and Belle Tatel, I think, there.
The horse that did win that race is a decent horse. That Verona Rose, I think she ran into third in the
Yeah, but she ran all over Dominetta. She ran all over her. She wasn't like the margins are not yeah. flattering to Dominetta at all.
Yeah.
Sorry, the margins are flattering to Dominetta.
Yeah. Nico.
They're all flattering margins in behind because they're racing against these good horses that would absolutely lick him in a real race. It doesn't count when they're throttled down the last 100 in reverse and they only get beaten 4.5 or whatever. I don't really have a firm opinion in the race. I'm happy to side with you boys. It's the weighted horse in this race. Looks to set up perfectly. 2,000 metres will be, I think, perfect. John O'Shea was bullish. You're bullish. That's enough for me.
Beautiful. Let's move on swiftly then to race three, because you are the one bullish in this race. It's a chairman's quality. It's a 2,600 metre group two, and Alaclance is looking for three on the bounce. It's a $2.60 favourite from Desert Hero. Very interesting runner here. Obviously carries the King's colours, draws 14, gets Armour, is $6.
I can see where this is going. Oh, God.
Where is it going?
Nico is saying W. Haggis in the form.
No.
Actually, it's just a moral.
No.
No.
This is not something that I would usually do, having a best bet in a staying race. But
oh, here we go.
Alaclance.
I didn't even read out the rest of the market. But
Don't worry about it. Just read the first one out and that's it. This horse will just win. It was good first up. Didn't win by a big space, but building through the preparation. Last start was super. Out in trip again. An extra 200 metres. She'll probably just win by further. They are going to back up into the Sydney Cup next week. And she's a deserved short price favourite. Yeah, just a fit, on speed, tough horse, stays. I don't know what else to say. 260 is very generous, I think. Desert Hero has had a lot of problems. They're going here and not backing up next week. It's been a bit of a disaster from what the co-trainer said this morning. Yeah, I just don't really want to be with it. It's going to have all the support because it's the Haggis horse and the strike rate, et cetera, but this horse hasn't ran since Royal Ascot. It's been up a long, long time. Yeah, no, not for me. Hole in the market. If you're a Birdman fan, you get your opportunity on Saturday. I think he's a bit of a myth, but he gets soft ground out and trip. If he's ever going to do it, it'll be Saturday, but he'll be a good bet in a maiden hurdle next year.
If Birdman wins this race, you can just about max bet Kings Valley at Caulfield.
He's a myth. He's a myth. But yeah, that's all you need to know. Just back Alaclance, best bet. I don't think you need to back her in the Sydney Cup because I don't think she's going to be too much shorter than what Charity is. Like, I think she's about $4, $4.50 odd in the Sydney Cup at the moment, and I don't think she's going to be too much shorter than that.
Yeah.
What about
I didn't even know she was a mare, so that's how much I pay attention to.
She's extremely well bred. So Gay was saying today on the radio that the owner of this horse came to her and said, "I want a grey horse." And Gay goes, "I've got no grey horses." he said, well, find me a grey horse. So they went to France. I think it was France. Bought this horse. And it's the little sister or some sort of relation to the filly that won the filly? I think it was the filly that won some super...
Alpinista.
Yeah, did she win the Arc de Triomphe or something?
She won the
Alpinista 3 years ago.
Is she related to that?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know the exact tie-in, but that,
that was three years ago,
I think it was.
It was 2 years ago. No, two.
Well, there you go. So she's extremely well-bred.
Go on, Bob.
What about my boy, who I backed in the Melbourne Cup, Valiant King?
Yeah, he'll be a good maiden hurdle bet later in the year, hopefully.
He's doing something this prep. I think he's sort of settled in now.
$3 in a maiden hurdle will be perfect.
Maybe that's where I'll win my next 10 coffees with Liv.
I think it's fantastic.
He'll win on Saturday.
I think it's fantastic.
Valiant King will win on Saturday.
It'll win what?
Waltham, the race on Saturday.
You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself.
Waltham's a nice horse. The way he won at the Gold Coast, it was a nothing race, but...
At the Gold Coast.
He absolutely hammered them at the Gold Coast.
It's a benchmark 85. It's
Blake Shin on. I know. But that rating is big, and the numbers that, you know, the splits that he ran there, you know, I think the people that overvalue margins might get allocated. Right.
Well, we'll see what happens next week when this wins by 6.
It's probably not a race that I'll be charging into, but
I'll see how the bank balance is going.
When I first settled on this, I was like, are you really going to do this? And then the more I looked, the more keen I got. Because I was like, well, Desert Hero is $6 and it can't win.
Mm. Yeah, you can potentially gap him. All right, let's move on to race 4. It's the Carbine Club 1600 meter Group 3. Swift Falcon is second emergency in the Doncaster Mile. I think if he gets into that race, then he's a cracking chance. But he carries the number 2 saddlecloth here. He's the $1.90 favorite from Evaporate, $3.20. They are the only two the market wants. They've spat out the leader, which is Shangri-La Spring, is $8, and Cal Callo is $14. Well, Tyler Schiller, the pilot of Swift Falcon, has come out during the week and says if he doesn't get in to the Doncaster, he'll probably just go and win the Carbine Club. Well, Tyler, I have news for you, because you may be the only thing that is getting this horse beaten. From barrier 8, we know...
So true.
We know the Hawks camp, their MO is just to ride negative from barrier 8. So I think the only thing that really gets him beaten here is if Tyler settles in another postcode, which is possible.
Surely not.
But he's just been running so well. He's been getting back a long way, as he does. But he's ran broadsiding and linebacker to a length, and then he ran broadsiding to three quarters of a length last start in the Rose Hill Guineas. His runs have been every bit as good as broadsiding and linebacker. He's been charging home in these really good sectionals. I think I actually like the 2,000 metres back to 1,600 metres. He might not get the right sort of pressure that he likes. I think he's a high-pressure miler. But nonetheless, he should be too good. Evaporate's a genuinely good horse, but he's got to go from Australia to New Zealand, back to Australia. He's got to carry the 59 kilos, so he's got to give us 2 kilos. I just don't know if he's going to be able to hold him out. So you want a little bit better than a $1.90 for Swift Falcon, but gee, if he's within 4 lengths of Evaporate at the 400, then I think he runs him down. I think he just wins.
Okay. I find it fascinating that everyone was saying Swift Falcon's a better horse than broadsiding. He was going to beat broadsiding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And those same people aren't really getting involved at even money, Swift Falcon. If he is his superstar that you proclaimed him to be, double your money is a fantastic bet, is it not?
Yep.
I think he'll just win. If he's given a good ride, Evaporate's had a long, arduous preparation, was given no real favours last start in New Zealand, and I think that run is a type of run that can empty you out for a preparation. They're not really going to know that because he wouldn't have been tested like he will be in a race in track work, And I think he's a really good horse with a really good future, but I can't see how he'll beat Swift Falcon if everything's equal on the weekend. Yeah, I think even money is more than fair. If you're a Bet365 punter, just wait. You've got a little present coming your way on Saturday when the boosts come out. I won't.
What price are they giving us?
Nearly double that.
Oh,
apparently, well, that's what Zach said. So we'll wait and see. They were also mega boosting Chad Wolf, and they mega boosted the same race multi. So
did that end up getting up? Did the thing run top four?
No, Palmetto ran like fifth or sixth, I think.
Oh,
but just come a disgusting on. Bet.
Come on,
but
boys.
Anyway, hopefully
boost the winner.
Hopefully Zach sticks to his word. And yeah,
who's Zach?
Zach Tunbridge.
Zach Tunbridge. Yeah, he works for Bet365. He goes on Gareth Hall's show and sort of chats.
And RSN as well. Who would have thought the best bookie is now controlling both airways? Fantastic stuff.
Controlling.
Well, they've got the.
A major player, sponsor.
Yeah.
Let's get on to race six. It's the first of the group ones. It is the English size 1400 meter group one for the 2-year-olds. Fun fact, the last six winners of this
history
race
says
have all come through the Golden Slipper. Let me just quickly...
I mean, like all the best horses come through the Golden Slipper, so you'd want to think so.
True. Manal, Militarize, Fireburn, Animo, King's Legacy, and Microphone. So last 6 years, all been the Slipper. And yeah, obviously that's no surprise at all. The top two horses are coming through the Slipper, but there's a few horses that are not. So Wotan is the $2.80 favorite. He runs second. Rivolino, $4. Vinrock, $4.80. Balazane, $9. And Prestige Forever. Pays the late nomination fee to get into the race is $11, as well as State Visit. I like Vinrock as a horse, but I just think it is advantage the two big Sydney colts. I backed Rivolino at $6 all in, not actually thinking Wotan would come here. Chris Waller was sort of, he was more leaning towards putting Wotan out, but then in a more recent video he said, you know, they're 2-year-olds, they're up and running. Are they going to make it as 3-year-olds? But so maybe that's why he's gone.
He must be going good because Chris is always...
Erred on the side of caution, yeah.
And especially with a horse like this.
Yeah, yeah. Expensive son of Wotan Bassett.
Yeah.
He gets Ryan Moore booked. So, yeah, he is my best way in the race. I've had a really good crack at the $3. Another fun fact. I tried to back him at $7 at points bet all in. They rejected bet. They brought him into $3.50 without any of my money going on. It's just sickening. It's just sickening what some of these futures markets do and what they get away with.
But you're just too good.
Well, there's anyway. No law about it, so they can really do whatever they want.
Don't stick up for him, Bob.
I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just saying. Like it's
ridiculous behavior.
They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't be able to do it in a final field if you try to back something at $15 and just wind it into
$10. Yeah, of course not, because that's governed by that's law.
Anyway.
But yeah, to be fair,
you're obliged
all
to
the,
bet you.
Tell all me. The talk was going to be that Moore was on State Visit and then Collette was booked on State Visit and then all of a sudden he went to the race anyway, Wotan. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, Wotan has now two pieces of form that say he might just be a little bit better than these. His debut performance rated to 97 and then he went almost to that mark in the Golden Slipper. You can argue he was a little bit unlucky. I know Tempted was very unlucky on the rails as well, but he looks like a horse who wants 1,400 metres. The map is a little bit tricky because you'll get back from barrier 9. But to counter that, I think the track is going to be playing in his favour. He's going to get that perfect soft track that he loves. His big debut win was on a genuine soft track. He's going to find the crown of the track over 1,400 metres. And I think he's looking for 1,400 metres a little bit more than some of the others in this race. Rivolino is a clear-cut danger. And as I said, I've backed him at $6 as well. Also good in the Slipper. Is there an end-of-prep run coming for him? Not sure. He hasn't really shown signs of that just yet, but he's the danger from barrier 6, Hugh Bowman on board. And Vinrock is the one that they've all got to run down from barrier 1. But, Yeah, I just think he might be a few runs away from really mixing it with these two big Sydney colts. Nico.
Yeah, well, I love Vinrock as a horse, but if the rail is going to be off, he's going to be up on speed. I think he was really good at Pakenham and he was really good last start, but it was advantage up and in and on the rails. I think this is just a completely different kettle of fish on Saturday. Balazane's going to go forward, possibly drive him mad. I just don't think the setup's right for him. I love him as a horse, but yeah, I think this is just a little bit of a bigger step than what he can take on Saturday. Happy to be with Woden at the price. If Waller's sent him here, that's good enough for me. I think he's probably looking for 1400 now. Gets Ryan Moore. He just has to be on the back of the right horse to take him into the race. And I think he should be too good. Revelino's also a nice animal, but I think Woden's just the best two-year-old of this crop. That's what I said before the slipper. I think he'll be the best two-year-old moving forward. And if he's here and he's going to go for one more, well, I've got to stick with him and he's going to be $3. So I think that's probably more than fair. And yeah, hopefully we see something nice on Saturday. But yeah, it's not a race that I really want to dive too deep into because I've still got that little bit of doubt in the back of my mind.
Yep. Two others down the bottom of the page, you can just have something small on, are Federalist and Navy Pilot. Federalist actually SP'd $4.20 on debut and never got a crack at them. Just look at this horse.
Queen's little colt.
Yes, this is I'm Invincible Arcadia Queen. So the breeding is impeccable. Carries the famous pink and white, the cerise and white silks of Bob Peters. So you just have something small on, and Navy Pilot, sort of similar story. 80-1, Kiramar, you've just got to have something tiny on this one.
For those that listen to SEN, Gareth reckons Federalist is the best two-year-old from the Hawks camp. People will know if they've listened frequently. It's been this ongoing joke, I guess you'd say. Who's the best two-year-old?
Well, we all backed nepotism like he was. And
well, yes.
That's all that matters.
But, yeah, it's up in the air whether it's nepotism or Federalist. So Gareth reckons it's...
Is that Wayne saying that?
Oh, they've all been playing along with it. Gareth doesn't know who it is.
It's a running joke. It's a running joke.
So. Yeah, Wayne wouldn't know. have you talked about State Visit? He could get a bit of a vibe from State Visit. I think he's a... Could be the what's the
champagne?
What's the race in? Nah, the other one, the one in Queensland.
The JJ Atkins.
Yeah, I get a big, you know.
Do you worry that he's just been bludging out the back? And I know he's been running sectionals, but like his maiden win wasn't against anything flash, and then the Skyhook race was unsuitable, but he still got beat 4.
Yeah, it ran big splits. It was a race, slowly run race, and he got.
Mm.
They just kept taking him back, like they were taking him back for 600 meters of the 1200 meter race. Like,
yeah. It's just all the talk was that he's not a 1200 meter horse anyway. He wants ground.
Yeah, he's
a wooden basset, and you know, mum's by Fastnet Rock. So, you'd think that Miles right up his alley, or at least 14. I think Prestige Forever is half interesting as well. I wouldn't be surprised if he runs a race.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the TJ Smith Race 7. Speaking of Wayne Hawks, we get to see the horse who's been running out of his skin. That's Briasa, $4.60. The favourite is Jolly Star at $4. We skip to the third favourite. Is Overpass at $6.50. Jimmy Star is $8.50 as well. Sunshine in Paris. And Magic Time, so three of them on the $8.50 line, and then your way out to Switzerland, $16. Armore, C. Waller could be in the chair. The map is very important here because 1200 meters Randwick, it's probably more than many starting points. It is important to get your early position sorted, and Overpass is going to shoot straight to the lead from barrier 2. I'd imagine Magic Time from barrier 1 will find the box seat. Briasa just has to be more forward than last start. I think Jolly Star gets a beautiful run from barrier 4. And then the likes of Jimmy Starr, Sunshine and Paris, they're the other main two dangers in the race. They draw wide. They might just have to concede. So it's going to be an interesting sort of first 400 metres, but it's got to be advantage those drawn to the inside, Nico. Where did you want to start in this race?
Yeah, well, one of my better bets of the day is Magic Time. I just think she's going to map absolutely perfect in behind the speed, probably behind Overpass. She's just going to have to get sort of off rail, off that sort of position. And if she is, it's absolutely perfect setup for her, I think. Don't know why she's the price she is. Yeah, she obviously beat Jolly Star first up, was good last start. Third up, set to go. I think the market has got her wrong. So she's clearly the best for me in this race. I think Jimmy Star and Briasa, pretty much the same horse, ability-wise, and all the rage is Briasa after last start. I want to see it first before I buy into it. They reckon he can settle forward, but I'm not so sure at 1,200 metres in this grade. I'm not convinced. He's a 1,200 metre horse at this grade. I want to see it first. So I think he's the horse that I want to sort of be against. Jolly Star won a weakish race last start, albeit it was a Group 1. You're asked to take a similar price here against the better horses, which I don't think is right. Overpass is going to get ready for the Quokka. This is probably just a run that he needs to have. So I think if you back sort of Jimmy Star and Magic Time, I don't think you'll go too wrong. I just think it's a good race. I'm against a few at the top. And, yeah, you're getting good odds, Magic Time and Jimmy Star. But, yeah, Magic Time on top, clearly, for me, each way special.
Yeah, I'm backing two horses as well. One of those is Jimmy Star, but I'll start with Jolly Star. I'm with the two star horses. And I do have $6.50 for Jolly Star, so I'll preface by saying that. But I just keep coming back to her in this race. I think she is potentially the best horse in the race. That win last start in the Newmarket was arrogant. It came off that first up run in the expressway where she wasn't really given the greatest steer by Karen McAvoy. She had a dominant $2 SP in that race. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about a horse who started equal favorite in an Everest and she was climbing over their heels. So I just keep coming back to Jolly Star because she maps beautifully from barrier four. She's going to tag right in behind the speed, Overpass leads, Magic Time on her inside. And I think there's a good chance she might find the 1-1. It's either her or Briasa, and she might just be off Briasa's back. And from there, I just think she's going to be incredibly hard to hold out because some of her main dangers, like Sunshine in Paris, is she going to be three wide or is she going to concede and go right back to near last? So I just think she gets complete map favours. If you get better than $4, great. If you don't, I think she's still a bet. And the other horse that I'm going to back is Jimmy Star, who was electric winning that Oakley Plate. Came from a mile back. I know he did have things in favour, but that win sort of stamped him and said, you know, I can be one of the best sprinters in Australia. Started $2.90 favourite in the William Reid and got back to last after jumping slow from an inside gate on a track that was never going to suit him. I think Randwick, 1,200 metres, find the crown of the track and just explode up the top of the straight. He's got to be in this up to his eyeballs. It's just the map from barrier nine. He has to concede. Ethan Brown, look, he's not a horse who's ever going to be in the first couple in the field. So he's going to have to show that booming turn of foot to be winning this race, but I think he can. Sunshine in Paris and Magic Time are the only other two chances. They're in the game as well. I can see Magic Time does get a good run, but just whether she has that electric turn of foot to go with Jolly Star and Jimmy Star, I'm not 100% sure. But do you have any thoughts?
Well, the map's interesting because a lot of these want to go back and, you know, it's a 1,200 meter race. And if they want to go back on some of these horses, they're going to have to give some very, very fast horses a lot of ground. And horse racing doesn't work like that. Bryasa looks as short as you could possibly. Like, how is it? How is it? How is it $4? Like, what's it? Like, it's $4.80 or something. What is that? How can it possibly? Yeah, I ran nice splits there in the Galaxy, but it was the Galaxy. And like, this isn't the hottest ever TJ Smith of all time, but
it's a crazy price.
It'd want to improve two lengths and a bit. Like, it gets a nice map, sure, but it'd want to at $4.80. I probably think it could start like $8, maybe bigger. I think Jolly Star probably should be favorite. If she's not slow away, she can put herself in the spot like she was in the new market. And if she does that, well, she's probably going to run her rating. And there's only a few here that can beat her. Overpass probably gets an uncontested lead, and that's probably key for him. If you want to be on him, I wouldn't tell you not to.
He's just never won a Group 1 in Sydney. He's yet to do it.
So? What does that mean? Like, I don't know. He's won Group 1s in Perth, beating Bella Nipotina.
Bella wasn't at her best that day.
Still, if she rocked up here, she'd be favourite. I don't know, like those ratings. Like, this isn't going to be one at the typical TJ level. If he runs to his, you know, 102 sort of Sydney Stakes number, like, as funny as that sounds, it's probably winning the TJ this year. So, he gets an uncontested lead. Maybe you could be on him.
He wants it to dry up as well. I don't think he likes it wet. He wants it to.
Yeah. Probably.
Get back into the soft five range.
Mm. Sunshine in Paris is an interesting one as well. She's going to go back to last, though. That's not ideal. Magic Time gets a great map. I'm still not convinced about her at 6 furlongs. As well as she sprinted first up, I just think she wants 1,400. But, like, yeah, other than that, where do you look for? I don't know. Like, Bryasa's the sort of horse I'd want to be on at 15-1. Sort of thing. Yeah. Even like Switzerland, like, is so confusing. Was wide there, but you know, he's third up now, just like he was in the Coolmore. I don't know. Chris Waller seems to do these sorts of things, but
if he wins, dead set.
Yeah,
dead set.
He's got the blinkers on.
No, next.
I don't know. Yeah, next race.
Moving
good
on.
Good race, though. Like, good betting race.
It is a great race. The TJ is always the best sprint race of the year outside the
Speaking
the Everest
of good
now.
Betting races.
The Doncaster Mile at $6 a field. It's a Group 1 handicap over 1,600 metres, of course. Linebacker, $6. Gringotts, $6.50. Tom Kitten, $7.50. Swift Falcon, $8. Firestorm almost knocked off Lady Shenandoah last start, $8.50. Royal Patronage, $9.50. And another Will... You could seriously make claims that he is the best 1,400 to 1,600 meter horse in the country, just about, and he's $10. What a race. What an absolute race. The speed map is interesting. Royal Patronage has to zoom across from barrier 19 and try to take up the lead. Another Will has to go with him. Just Folk on the four-day backup, he led, shot out of the gate's like an absolute cannon. He draws barrier 10, so he'll want to be forward. Gringotts looks the map horse, and you can understand why he's at the pointy end of betting barrier 6. And Rise at Dawn, if there are any scratchings, he's the first emergency, and he's drawn in 2, and he only knows one way, and that's to punch up on speed. So those are your map horses. Pressure, I'm not sure if it's going to be it's probably going to be relatively fast run. And that might set it up for some of those big closes. But, yeah, who wants to go first? What were your first initial thoughts, Bot?
I don't know. It looks like a great betting race and $10 the field. if you find the winner here, good luck, first of all. And you're going to get paid a bit because, it's a great betting race. It always is. Like, I sort of like pricing these races up just for the fun of it. Pretty mate favorite. I don't know. I think another Will probably, you know, he's not favorite, but I probably think you could make him favorite. And Tom Kitten, you could make favorite. I'd probably make the two of them equal favorites.
They've drawn at opposite ends of the spectrum, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't mind that. It's a big field handicap. Like, they'll go quickly. You want clear running, I think. I don't know. I don't know. They'll roll forward another Will. I think Gringotts is a dodgy favorite. I would be surprised if it wins, but I think, you know, that price is too short. I think Swift Falcon's got to be there, but, you know, his second emergency, he won't get a run. Royal Patronage, going to do a lot of work. I don't know. I have no idea. Firestorms, the weights and measures sort of pick, but, do you want to really... Like, I backed Firestorm in the... in a 2,000-meter mares race at Mooney Valley. I couldn't. If this won the Doncaster, I honestly would throw up.
Like, I don't know if you can trust it. Don't know.
No, I don't think you can. Like, and the time was really, really good. The time was good. She ran quick over a good time in the what race was that? The Queen of the Turf or something like that, or the Coolmore Classic, I think. But yeah, I mean, I backed her in the what's it called? The is it the Tristark? No.
Which race?
The race that I backed, the Matria. Oh, no, the Tezio, sorry. The Tezio. I backed her in the Tezio.
Oh, yeah. She's a back marker at Mooney Valley.
Oh, God. Anyway, here she is as sub $10 chance in a Doncaster. Geoglyph looks interesting. He beat Equinox once upon a time. He's drawn 24. Yeah, I mean, like, sure, but, you know, you have worse bets at 40s. What's Steffi Magnetica doing? She's a...
Gone. You know,
she could. Is she? Okay.
She's not going well this prep. Oh, she's not going as well. She did okay last up. She was sort of just whacked away. I don't know. I've got 50-1 linebacker. I'm cheering him on like all hell. With 49 kilos. I think after emergencies, he comes into barrier 11. He was really good last start. Again, can you trust him? He can be a little bit enigmatic. He was great first up. Terrible second up, awesome third up. I've got $26 for Tom Kitten. I wish he didn't draw barrier one, but nonetheless, he gets in super with 55.5. Obviously an all-star mile winner. Just needs the gaps to appear at the right time. Swift Falcon, if he does get into the race, he's my top pick. I backed him at $13, not all in. I backed him final field, so I'll get that money back if the scratching don't come his way. So those are the sort of horses I'm playing around. Gringotts could win without shock. Another Will can absolutely win. And he probably has to be a bet now that he's out to $11 on the seventh line of betting. I've just sort of backed around the edges. Had something on Royal Patronage at 15s and had something small on both Kovalika and Port Lockroy at 50-1. It's that sort of race, punters. You sort of have a few stabs in the dark and you hope for the best. Let's move on to race 9. It's the Australian Derby, Group 1, 2,400 metres. Aliana, been well-backed, $3 favourite from Willie Do It. Willie Do It, he did it last start in the New Zealand Derby. He's $3.60. Then you have to double figures. Chanois, $10. The Victoria Derby winner, Gold Rush Guru, $12. And Plymouth, oh, he was awesome last start, is $12. Nico, you're very keen on the filly.
Yeah, I am. I think she should just put a hole in them if she holds their form. She's been running super, all preparation. She's looking for 2,400 now. She's mapped to do no work. Frosty on, probably the most informed rider in the country at the moment. And, I think she can win the Derby. I think Willie Do It is some sort of threat, but it's very hard to come over here after a long sort of preparation and win. I think Aliana's just had the perfect preparation. She's got a lot of speed in her legs, which is good at the back end of her races. Like, her best part of last start was her last 100 metres. She arguably should have beaten Broadsiding, and I think he's the best three-year-old colt. So if that's the opinion that I have, she should take care of this lot. I think Shamwa's a good horse, but I just think that form's slightly inferior, but you'd be brave to doubt Seymour at a staying trip. So I think that's probably the three sort of chances, but I think Aliana should take care of him. But if something was to go awry, I think it's either Willie Do It or Shamwa that can win the race. But I think $3-ish, Aliana's a good bet.
Yeah. We've played this. Sorry, you go first, Bill.
She holds her rating and she probably wins, I think. That's about it. I wasn't going to say too much, but
you cut me off just to say that.
Sorry. I thought you already spoke.
No. Yeah, well, I think we've played this race really well over at the 6 day, which is my betting subscription service. We've had a few new signups this week after a really good Tuesday, which was nice. So if you want to jump on board, just search it up on the App Store. The Android app is only about a month or two away. Just still a couple teething issues, but we've got Aliana at $11. We risked it for the biscuit. Obviously an all-in bet, and we weren't sure if she was going to go here or the Oaks, but Chris Waller has been running this filly against the boys all preparation. He hasn't been shy to run her against broadsiding, linebacker, Swift Falcon, and that's what gave me a little bit of confidence that he was going to do it again and sort of avoid Treasure the Moment, who might be the best of all of them. She was excellent last start in the Rose Hill Guineas. She's by Castle Vecchio. Castle Vecchio seems to be throwing some good stayers. So I'm confident both her sectionals and her breeding would suggest that 2,400 meters shouldn't be a problem. She has a real ratings edge on the rest of this field. So she's clearly on top. As I said, we've got $11. As soon as markets opened, we were also able to back Willie Do It at $5. Our man, Stephen Hunt, over in New Zealand, who does the weight for age ratings over there, his Derby rating rated to 98 over in New Zealand, which is sort of in the median. I would have thought visually it looked a little bit better than that, but just for reference, Orchestral's demolition job a couple of years ago was 101.5. So still a little bit off that, but the thing with this horse over Aliana is that you know he'll stay 2,400 meters because he's already proven that and he'll just run all day. So as long as he's not over the top, he's going to look the winner for a very long way. He'll go forward with Mickey D on board. So yeah, they're clearly the two. And as Nico said, I'm going to have a little saver on Chanwar because you just can't knock Kieran Ma, a horse who keeps winning and out to the staying trip. So yeah. It looks like the Derby, it's always a tough race, but there does look a little bit of class at the top of the page. All right, to round out proceedings, we've got the PJ Bell, 1,200 metres, Group 3 for the fillies. Clean Energy, $2.70 from Lilac, $5. Zatung, $7. Love Poem, $8. She's Got Pizzazz, $9. Nico, we're putting our faith in Ryan Moore a lot on Saturday, which is a little bit scary.
Yeah, well, this is a pretty simple ride. He just has to sit on it, not fall off, and she'll win. That's all he's got to do. She's a really good filly, Group 1 horse in waiting. Her preparation so far has been perfect. I think she'll just win on Saturday. Perfect way to round out the card.
Yep. Short, simple. I'm going to keep it that way as well. She overcame the track bias last start at Mooney Valley. Circled the field after beginning slowly and was still way too good. Now, this is a horse who, as we know, got the better of Lady Shenandoah when Lady Shenandoah wasn't the horse she is now, but albeit she did beat her twice. She had that little injury break. First up at Flemington was just a clean out run, but she still carried 58.5 kilos, gave him weight, ran really well. She's coming from that. She's going to improve again third up. Goes forward from barrier 8, hopefully. I think her only danger is Lilac, who leads this race from barrier 4, has been putting down some good ratings herself. So for me, the play is to have a really nice bet on Clean Energy and just to save your stake on Lilac. Yeah, that looks the play to end the day. All right, let's round out there. Let's go around the grounds. Nico, I'll come to you first. I reckon you've got one at Ascot, WA.
I think the favourite will win the Oaks. She's been super over there. And, yeah, it looks like she's just set to win again. She belted them last start. Looks like she'll do it again. Extra couple of 100 metres. Looks no issue. Rinse and repeat.
Beautiful. Easy as that. Will, anything?
Nah, sorry, I haven't looked yet.
All right, no worries. Well, Dubai, Saturday night.
Oh, God.
We've got some cracking races. It's Dubai World Cup night, and we see some of the best horses in the world clash. First race we're going to have a look at is race 4. It's number 3, How Deep Is Your Love. He's probably in the top probably in the top four or five sprinters in Hong Kong right now. Obviously, Car Ying Rising is number one. Helios Express is number two. He's probably vying for that third or fourth, fifth sort of position. This Alcor's sprint isn't really a strong race, even though it's worth so much money. It's filled with these European sprinters. A lot of them are more 1,000-meter horses than 1,200-meter horses. How Deep Is Your Love has sort of gone to the line a few times with Helios Express. There really isn't that much between them. And this Alcor sprint is a race that California Spangle, I believe, won last year. So I know he's not going any good right now, but it just sort of shows you the level that How Deep Is Your Love only needs to sort of produce what he's been producing in Hong Kong, and he is right in this. And the thing I love about this race for him is that he's a horse who can usually get back and lose sight of the bunny, but this is a straight 1,200 metres at Maidan, so he doesn't have to get too far back, draws barrier 9 and just point and shoot for James McDonald. Obviously, the very popular double on the night will be race 7, number 8, Romantic Warrior, into race 9, number 1, Forever Young. They ran the 1-2. It was an agonizing defeat for those fans of Romantic Warrior like myself. We got up at 5 a.m. to watch him. But, yeah, Forever Young, Yoshito Yahagi's come out and said it's the best horse he's ever trained. Well, he's trained Contrail and also Liz Grisher. So to be coming out and saying that is massive. Romantic Warrior should just win again in race 7. He's only got to beat – look, Romantic Warrior is race – conceding is a better race than the other race. He's got to beat Liberty Island, Nation's Pride and Soul Rush, but he's already beat these Japanese horses before. So $1.50 into $1.55, just take the double. And race 8, you can also back number 5, Calandigan. This horse is a proper beast. He ran second in the Judmont International to City of Troy. City of Troy broke the track record. So I know they were going fast, but you can also... The other positive you can take away from him running second on a day they broke the track record is that they ran on really, really fast ground. And you're going to get really, really fast ground in Dubai on a warm Saturday over there. So, yeah, pretty keen on Calandigan. Rebel's Romance is a cracking horse and he's going for 2 wins in a row in the race. But I think he's just bumped into a new beast in Calandigan. And Rebel's Romance's form... He did get away with the Group 1 last start in Dalmar, but I don't know if he's going quite as well as he has been previously. All right, that's the set. We need a back, we need a lay, we need a pray. It's something that I forgot to do last week. So has anyone got a best bet and a best lay?
Brias is way too short. It's not my go up there, but that $4 around is poison. I'll make Dolce Dior or maybe Torrenzino with a prey. And my best bet will be I'll make it Heart of Glass in a second.
Yep, sweet.
Two best bets, Alicante and Clean Energy. Best value, Magic Time, and I don't really have a lay. Oh, yeah, you can have Briasa. And Desert Hero.
Yep. I'm going to make my best bet race 2 at Randwick, number 9, Polymnia. I think Swift Falcon will probably just win race 4 as well, but at the better odds, I'll go Polymnia best bet. Best value. What am I chasing at value? There aren't too many horses I'm backing at double figures, but I'll go Jimmy Star in the TJ Smith. Double figure price there. And the lay of the day, I agree with the boys. Let's go Briasa. If he wins, it's a strip out in the TJ. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get to a couple of questions before we wrap things up. Twitter questions first. Rage Nut says Cordy numbers would be elite. Caulfield, we didn't go through the actual card, so we were never going to do that. But for Sydney, I think you could still get our Cordy numbers from sort of what we've said. We have gone through each of those races, and hopefully you can just pick out the horses we were backing in some of those dangers. Harry says, Romantic Warrior into Forever Young Multi, your moral. Yes. Lucas Greenwood, how many lengths does Super Razi win by?
I hope he just wins. I don't really care how much he wins by. I just want him to win.
Yeah, I'll go a half length. Super Aussie was a horse Lucas and I discussed during the week, and both keen, both on at the eights. Chris, the caster, says, what would be worse, Switzerland winning the TJ after most punters dropped off him, or Romantic Warrior and Forever Young Multi going arse up overnight?
Don't even speak the latter into the universe.
I think the latter would be worse for my bank account if Romantic Warrior and Forever Young, if that multi didn't salute. But if Switzerland wins the TJ, that will be worse for my heart and my soul. Because
why?
Because he has one piece of form that says he's a top class horse, and he's just disappointed me every time I've backed him out outside of that in recent times.
Oh, mate, if Romantic Warrior and Thingo gets beat, then you're going to be heartbroken. You won't care if Switzerland wins.
Yeah, the ladder's definitely worse.
Yeah, well, come on, mate. Be serious.
Ishan Akash. This has got to be a parody account. Has Bot paid his electricity bill? I like that one.
Nico needs to pay his Wi-Fi was out. It's always starting late.
Yeah, well, I'm actually I'm actually hotspotting myself right now because my Wi-Fi was cast as well. I think it's
this mine's rain. Sweet. So it's just you guys need to sort yourselves out.
It's our fault, isn't it? Boom punting. Ben, with Carlton now being 0-4, and he did say this 13 hours ago, so he went early. and alarm bells everywhere. Is it now time to rip the Band-Aid off and go into another tank with TDK set to arrive at Moorabbin? Obviously referring to St Kilda. I tell you what, if I didn't have racing on my side and have racing as a great passion, if I was just this big footy nuffy, it would hurt so much more. But I think I've just become numb to the pain. So it sort of makes it a little bit better. Yeah. I don't actually support football anymore. There you go. No. Jackson Kirkwood. Is it as simple as the Kings Valley Swift Falcon and Preliminia Multi? There's no way I would be trusting a 3-kilo apprentice to be, you know, a leg and a multi on a Saturday, but I do like the bet. I do like the others I do like all of them individually, but I wouldn't be putting Kings Valley in a multi. Flynn Lowen, why didn't you let Bot hear about it after Private Harry won the Galaxy? We did.
I copped it. Don't worry.
We did it in behind closed doors, group chats, etc. Maybe it didn't make its way onto Twitter, but not everything needs to.
Still waiting for the $6, Bot.
Coop Serwin's got a couple. Will he do it this week, or will he do it not have the will to do it? What price would Via Sustainer be if the Cox Plate was this weekend?
What?
Well, we've got the Queen Elizabeth, which is next weekend, which is basically
wait a week, mate.
Which is basically the Sydney Cox Plate, and I think with Dubai Honor running well last start and winning and rating to a good figure, I think we'll get $1.90 Via Sustainer. Coop Selwyn, should punters be better looked after with abandoned races? There's not much you can do
nothing
about
will
it.
Change.
I mean, but there's nothing you can do about it. Like, the races get abandoned. The rules are if the races are moved, the refunds come in. That gives the bookies a chance to reset and see with the betting flux already, which is an advantage to them. And they get to reset their prices to what the market had already backed them into. But at the end of the day, we still took the cash on Tuesday. So,
but I don't think that really matters for Sydney as much, though, because
NBLs don't care. If you back something at $10 and it comes into $5 and then you lose your $10, it's a bit annoying.
Yeah, but like, it's chances are it might get more often than not, it'll probably get back out to, unless there's something like super, super wrong that people just piled into. But
yeah, I think it is what it is. It is what it is. Nothing's going
to
change.
It's not as if they're using like massively sharp money to form their markets. It's just what they're mostly holding, I think, in Sydney anyway.
Because you got to be fair to the punter, but you've also got to be fair to the bookie. It's got to be a level playing field. Everyone knows the rules. All in bets stand, and final field bets get refunded. You have to bet them again. Will, what went wrong at Avoca last week?
I know. Well, they were well backed, and they were I don't know. Jackie Berryman rode. I prefer not to slander jockeys on a podcast, but honestly, why? Just take it. Like, you're at Avoca, just go lead.
What about? I know you said don't chime in unless you get $2, but A. Kelly, did you reckon she went a bit fast?
Oh my god! Yeah, I didn't back that one. It didn't get out to even money, but oh my god, what was that? Holy shit!
Excluding the winner, yeah. She's beaten the rest by 20 lengths because they've all been
stuffed. Oh my god. Holy, just what? Did the saddle slip or something? I don't know. Anyway, and then the other one, the picnic horse I backed in the last was a...
Yeah, you got unlucky a couple of times.
Bad bit.
Anyway, yeah. No one cares.
Bit SP, it's all
Nathan Deepgron, if you haven't talked about it, what is Alaclance's ceiling? Great win last time, and this ain't any harder.
Well, like win the Sydney
Cup. I think that's its ceiling.
Yeah. Well, Nico agrees with you. It's going to be a great race. Alaclance versus Zardozzi in the Sydney Cup. Huge.
Oh, my God. How much can you have on Zardozzi?
Well, I've already backed her. Sosarek, who would win? Kaiying Rising with Zach Purton or Nature Strip at the peak of his powers with J-Mac? Ranwick, 1,200 metres. Good four.
Oof. Good question. Don't know. Be a good race.
It would be a good race. They'd both be like, they'd be dueling it out on speed because they're both on speed runners.
I feel like Kaiying Rising could cope with it better.
I'm going to say Kaiying Rising. I reckon he's... We're going to be talking about this horse like he is the best horse David Hayes has ever trained in a couple starts time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if he comes down and wins the Everest by as far as... You know, if he runs the ratings he's running in Hong Kong and Australia, they won't see which way he goes. He will beat them. Like, the TJ Field is in a normal year, is almost Group 2 level. He will beat them by so far, it's just not funny.
Yeah. But, yeah, it would be a great race, and it's an interesting pub chat. And the last one, Tyson Hunter. Nico, would you say that Bot is the new father of Pakenham?
No.
Anyway, well done to Tyson and Adrian. They've had two fantastic winners over the last...
Oh yeah.
Week they had.
We didn't talk about Just Folk and the Doncaster. I half give him a chance, like on the quick backup. You're on speed. If it stays wet enough, and he's the hard fit runner, he gets a soft map. I don't know. I've seen weirder things happen. I half gave him a chance actually. Just Folk.
Yeah. No. He's definitely not without. Not without a hope. Sort of.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be a blowout place. Runner to yeah. win, but it wouldn't. It wouldn't like he's not a. You know, you're probably going to jump 50s, and I think you can have something small on him, I would have thought.
Yep. And the other winner they had was Jahangir in the roll of the dice colours. So
good winner. Good, big margins. Nice.
Well done to the lads. And they got a price for that one as well. All right, let's wrap up the podcast there. It was always going to be a little bit longer tonight because it is day one of the championships and we had plenty of bets. But I hope you enjoyed that. And most importantly, we hope the winners roll in. Can load up the cannon and go into week two of the championships next week. Cheers. When I first saw you, I already knew there was something inside of you, something I thought that I would never find. Angel of mine, I look at you looking at me. Now I know why they say the best things are free. Everybody